Welcome to the Helping Families Be Happy podcast, where we explore the often messy world of family, love, and relationships. I'm your host for this podcast, Adina Oberman, a mom, a former preschool teacher, picture book lover, and member of the Familius marketing team. I'm also the creator of Big Books for Little Hands, a site dedicated to connecting parents and teachers with the best books for the ups and downs of life with little ones. Today, we welcome Jackie Gill. Jackie is a mom, a freelance content creator in the DIY arts and crafts and holiday space. She loves creating for all life's moments, big and small. She loves the holidays and finding new and fun ways to celebrate each of life's occasions. You can find all of her ideas on Instagram at Jackie G Blog. This episode aligns with the Familius habits: learn together, play together, and eat together. You can learn more about the Familius 10 Habits of Happy Families by going to the Habit Hub blog on familius.com. Welcome, Jackie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you because I'm also a mom. I also love crafting by myself with my kids. My younger sister recently told me the phrase crafternoon.
I love that.
Which I love. And yeah, I'll have a crafternoon anytime.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Right? Sounds like the perfect afternoon.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I would love for you to share a little bit about how you got started with your crafting, your ideas, and all of your DIY projects.
Thank you. Yeah, I really got started. I feel like I've always been definitely a little bit craftier, creative. I always have to use that part of my brain. And I really started sharing it with my Instagram community back during the COVID lockdown, like so many others did. I needed some space to be creative, and I was doing all these things anyway. So I said, why not share it with other people who are stuck at home? No one knows what to do. It was such a weird time. And I just try to make something positive and light out of it. And it's really blossomed into something. I've created a community of like-minded moms and women who like to do the same thing as me.
Yes, I think that's so true. And I think that just from talking to all of the creators and social media influencers that we are so lucky to work with, it seems like COVID was just sort of a turning point in people sort of finding their passion or rediscovering their passion and sort of turning it into something that not only they love, but that is helpful to other people. So that's such a common thread that we're seeing.
It is. And I feel like a lot of the women I connected with they've done the same exact thing. It was during COVID. They were trying not to lose themselves during it, stuck at home with their small kids, wanted to do something with their small kids and involve them in the things that they like to do. And it kind of just blossomed from there. And that's definitely how I started. And that's definitely my story as well. So it's definitely aligned.
Yes, absolutely. I have to ask because I have seen so many amazing projects and DIY creations on your Instagram. So I have to ask about what are your favorites? And also, are there any that just went horribly wrong?
Yes, there are some. Pretty much for every good one you see that makes it to Instagram, there's like 10 fails behind the scenes. And I'm a perfectionist by nature. I just strive. And it's not even perfectionism for the world, it's mine, like my own standard. So it's hard for me, but I feel like I've embraced that messiness, that chaos, especially when you invite your kiddos into the crafting world with you. I'm not good at this, but I like to do it with her, but I have to breathe through it sometimes because I just like things to look a certain way when I'm doing my own stuff. But I want to make these memories with her too. So let's see. Okay. Crafting fails. One time I bought a garland to dye with fabric dye. It was white, big fluffy white hearts a few years ago from Target. And I thought it'd be so cute if I dyed them red and pink, but they were these big fluffy hearts like this big. So I dyed the whole garland. And I don't know if it was the material of the garland, but the dye didn't stick at all. And it just looked honestly like I dipped it in a bucket of blood and it was disgusting, horrible. I had to throw it away. So that sticks out as a big fail for me.
I think any project that turns out looking like a crime scene is probably not what you have planned. But I do think, I'm really glad that you shared that, because I think with the way that all of us, in the same vein that we use social media for inspiration and for connection, I think that it's also important to remember, like you said, for every like good project, there are also so many that didn't go right, and that is real life, and that's how it's going to be.
Sure. I try to share both sides when I have a fail or when something didn't work. And I try to be really open and honest about that, because I didn't start this to be perfect online. I shared it to show my side of things and how I might not be perfect and you're not either. So let's come together and create a little mess, but also some fun too.
Absolutely. It's reminding me of a lot of the projects that I did with my own kids during COVID. I remember one of the viral projects that I found was people were putting colored water inside of Ziploc bags and then taping them to either a window or a glass door and setting up this sensory space for kids so that they could squish the bags and play around. Sometimes you could add colors and they would experiment with color mixing. But of course, when I did it, it was great for 5 minutes, but then my son, who's like a little wrecking ball at the time, he was 18 months. And of course, like the bags of colored water just exploded, and that did not go as planned. But I will say that it was a learning experience for all of us, especially for my son, because he was covered in like all of this colored water. And it was so, I remember him just like sort of being shocked and cold and wet. And I feel like that was definitely a wake up call for him. Like, ooh, okay, that was too rough. That was too hard. As much as we want to have these memories, like you said, and these experiences, it also sometimes turns into something unexpected, which I think can be pretty beautiful too.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good point. There's so many times I've tried to involve my kiddo and she's like, nope, I'm not doing this at all. I have no interest. And sometimes she's all about a project. Sometimes I just have to let it go and do the way that she wants to and without my input. And that's harder too. But it is, it comes out with a beautiful result. And then you still made those memories. You still have that time. And you don't always want them clouded with your own hangups or your own influence.
Absolutely. I think that it's really easy to focus on the product when you're a visual person, when you're a creative person. I know that that's like my end game as well. But I think also when we involve our kids, it's such a great reminder of the process of creating. And like you said, the importance of making these memories, because I don't think at the end of the day, especially when they're young, they're going to remember how the project turned out. They're going to remember that mom or dad or their special grown-up spent time with them making a mess, getting dirty. And they were, you know, that I think that's kind of what you're, that's what our kids are left with. And I think that's like the gift that people are getting when they see all that you're creating at home and then they try it themselves. So I think that's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a fun journey to go on with your kids, and it's really humbling too, because you're constantly just learning through it. And where I was during COVID to where I am now, both as a parent and as a content creator and someone who does do arts and crafts, my skill set has grown so much. And I feel like I think we've all grown so much since COVID. So that's something really good to look back at too. And I'm thankful that part's gone.
Yes, you can sort of do things because you want to, and as you find the time, not because you're trying to fill up an entire day of keeping kids busy. So I hear that. And I think that resonates with a lot of people. So you're someone who sort of started this and ran with it. Do you have advice for people who maybe want to get started with crafting and DIY, but they're not sure where to start, or they're just sort of feeling overwhelmed by the idea of like starting these messy or just sort of freeform projects in their house?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question, because so many people just have that paralyzing fear of like, I'm not going to be good enough, or it's too messy, or this is too hard for me. But the best advice is just do it, especially with the kids, because they're going to keep you grounded. They're going to keep you like realistic. But then you just got to start. You got to pick one project and try it. If that's not for you, then you move on to the next. And one medium or one project might not be the thing you want to stick with for years to come. You just kind of have to dabble a little bit in every little thing. Save projects on like Pinterest, on Instagram, and look for captions that say beginner friendly or little to no materials needed, and kind of go from there. When I was younger and I was like before kids and doing crafts and stuff, I would go to the craft store and buy like a ton of stuff for one project and it wouldn't come out right. And then I'd be done because it's like, ah, I'm not good at this. I'm not going to like stick with it. It's not my thing. But that was just one type of project. And now I'm like, okay, you know what? I know my strengths here. I know them or not there. You know, you kind of pick and choose and you can keep honing that in as you do more and more.
I admire that. I think it takes a lot of strength to go into the arts and craft store as a crafty person and just stick to your list, your project. Because sometimes I know I go in, especially with my daughter, and we'll be thinking about a specific project, but then we see all of this other great stuff. And before you know it, we have like materials to start many different projects. And then we get home and we kind of don't know where to begin. So I think that's a really good point. You know, going in with ideas for what you want to do and being open to using different mediums. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And just start small with it. And like you said, I'm guilty of it too. And I still do this. Like I'll go into the store and buy a million different things, forgetting half the stuff I actually needed, of course. But then I get home and I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to even do with all this stuff? And that is what I used to do. Like I used to do that a lot when I was younger. And now I kind of group all my stuff, like talking about organization, I group all my project materials together so I can look and see, okay, I want to do this project. I only need beads or I only need glue. And it's better to know that way instead of buying like this kind of glue and that kind of glue or like that wooden piece. The craft stores are so overwhelming in general, but just kind of picking that small little thing and it's like, you know what? I already have this at home. Let's see what I can do with that too is helpful.
That's a really good point. I think you're right that it's when you go into a craft store and you see all of the amazing things that are there, it's so easy to say, oh, well, I could get this because I can also start this project or I can also start doing this kind of craft. And then you end up, like you said, with a lot of stuff, but no project in particular to use them with. So I think that that's a really good point. While we're talking about all of the materials, I have to know if you have any secrets or tips for organizing your materials for crafts and DIY.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I am a very disorganized person. It's a little bit of a mess, but I always know where stuff is. I'm always going to find it like super fast whenever someone needs something, I can get it. But again, like I group things by material. I feel like that's really helpful. So all my glues are together, which, you know, like how many glues are there? Well, it's like Mod Podge and hot glue sticks and like spray adhesive. That's in a little bin in my cabinet behind me. It's like a big, nice console table. So I have little bins organizing that. All my paints in one spot with my paintbrushes. And that's helpful too, because if my daughter Reagan, she's 7, if she wants to paint, I'm like, you know where the paintbrushes are, you know where the paint is, pick out your colors, let's go do that. So grouping them by material is really great. And then after a while, maybe every year, especially now that we're in January and everyone's kind of decluttering, I go through and I'm like, you know what? I've had like 15 wooden signs from the dollar store for every holiday. I didn't make one of these last year. Let's give them away as like, you know, I paint like, I'll use them as gifts, like tape a little paintbrush and a paint palette and say like, here's a little thinking of you to our neighbors. Or I give them to friends who need something for a project, or I donate them to a school. And people are usually more than happy to take things from you if you're not going to use them. And it just helps you get rid of things and keep it clean and less is more sometimes.
I love that. I think it can feel very hard to part with things, especially if you sort of designated them for certain projects. But I like the way that you have found a way to let them go in a way that feels really good by donating them to other people. So that's really great.
It's a nice way. And then you can always like, sometimes I'm really guilty of buying, you know, like they say, if you like something in a color, buy the same thing so that you all have like the same style in every color. I'm guilty of that with craft materials too. So I'll buy like one version of it. And I'm like, well, I need the other coordinating versions. And it's like, I only did the one craft. So I'll show my friends like, hey, this is the craft I did. I have all the materials to do more. Do you want these? Like, I've already shown you how to do it. And they're like, yeah, I'll take that. I'll try it. So that's another good way too. It's kind of like a craft circle going on.
I like that. That's really good. I think I would definitely try something new if somebody handed me all the materials and they had already made it and held my hand as exactly. I went along my way.
Yeah. It's like a low risk venture when you do it that way. Like, you didn't have any money at stake in it. You already, like, you don't have time shopping. You're not overwhelmed by the possibilities. You're like, I can kind of execute this in A, B, and C. And if it comes out, great. If not, oh well.
So you've given us a lot of really good advice. So if you're not really sure where to start, just get started. Don't focus on the product, focus on the process and the time spent with your kid or your children. Organize your materials by type to help you sort of keep everything where it needs to be. Go into the arts and crafts store with ideas for what you're going to buy and multiple projects, so you're not focusing on just one thing, and gift unused materials to people who will appreciate them and use them. So I love all of that advice. You're making me want to like head down to the craft store right now. You're like bringing up so much creative energy. As we begin to wind down, I want to make sure that our listeners can find you. So where can they find you online?
I am on Instagram at Jackie G Blog, and I share everything there. I have lots of tutorials and just regular inspiration with and without kids. So it's all there. I'm hoping to launch a website soon, later this year though, too. So that's on the list.
Keep us posted on that.
I will.
Thank you so much for being here, Jackie. As we conclude today's podcast, I'd like to thank Familius for their support in bringing this podcast to your ears and your heart. We'd be thrilled if you subscribed to the podcast and left us a review. And when you're ready for the next amazing book adventure, we'd be honored if you choose a book from Familius. One step at a time, we can make the world a happier place.